I'm going to share with you a message that I'm going to call Hello Mirror. And let me just tell you that my mirror and I have had this ongoing argument. And it got so bad at one point that I dismissed my mirror and got a new one. And I was hoping that the new one would learn from the mistakes of the old one, that, you know, if you don't report correctly, I might get rid of you. And so Judy and I got this brand new mirror, and it's like twice the size. It's big and beautiful, but it's behaving rather badly too. So I have conversations with my mirror. I don't know if you do, but the next time you check in, I just want to kind of help you with something here. I believe that you know, the thing about a mirror is, of course, is that it only reflects what everybody else sees, you know? A mirror can only show you know, what everybody else sees, and sometimes we don't see, you know? We don't see it, but the mirror is able to do this. It's always good to have a friend give you good feedback, you know? And a mirror can be a good friend, you know? You have some reason to inspect that mole on your face, you know, and see how it's coming along and how many hairs are growing out of it. And, you know, everybody else sees, but you know. So, and this is even a problem with everybody else seeing, is that, you know, we're young, we're old, we're of two different races, two different genders, several different races. We have different complexities. We have different complexions. We, you know, some are really gorgeous and some are just so-so. And, you know, we're just all over the spectrum with appearance, but it's just all the outside, you know. So, you know, sometimes Judy will say, you look good today. And I'm like, I'm still an old man underneath, you know. I mean, you just can't deny it, right? So here's the point. The point is that with the mirror, you can't see who we are in Christ. It takes a different kind of mirror. And let me just tell you that we can make huge mistakes by looking in a physical mirror and seeing what we see. We can make huge mistakes if we don't see what the mirror of God's word sees. It's a whole different thing. It's not denial. It's just, and it's not a different reality. It's from a different plane of living, the spiritual plane. When Annie shared a while ago, she just sensed in her spirit. So her spirit is reacting to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is arguably from a different place. And he's in our world. He's working in our world and through our world. And yet, Jesus said you can only see him like you can see the effect of the wind. You can see the effect of a storm. But you can't look and see the Holy Spirit. So it makes sense to me that if I look in the mirror, I can't see what the Spirit's doing by looking in the mirror. That's actually good news for some of us, because many of us are progressing in the Spirit in ways that we could use some feedback on. I'm going to tag in on the hopes and dreams that was mentioned just a minute ago. But before I go there, I'm going to introduce the scripture, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. And so we're going to look at a few of these, and I don't have the time to develop it all this week. So we're going to go over it in a couple of weeks, over through some stuff here that I believe that as believers in Jesus Christ, Those of us who've accepted Christ as our Savior and begun to follow him, we ought to have some of the most developed mental health, some of the most beautiful mental health that exists in the world. I think that's why in Proverbs 31, and I'm forgetting exactly how it says, but it doesn't. I feel like that it says something that the Proverbs 31 woman is able to kind of like smile at the future. Or I'm going to just say smile at the mirror. It's like, okay, all right, you're not as young as you used to be, but you're not doing bad. And have a healthy outlook on life. So we've got people that have no esteem. That's not healthy. We've got people who have too much esteem. That's not healthy either. But most of us fit somewhere in between. And I just feel like that as those who are loved by God and those who love God, that we ought to have some of the best mental health on the planet. Would you agree? Not convinced yet? Yeah, it's an uncomfortable subject, you know, but. So in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a phrase in itself. Just hold that thought. Who has blessed us, I highlighted, in Christ. This is the thing that we're going to have to wrestle with. This is where the faith that we have towards Jesus, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's not how much you trust God, it's how much you trust Jesus with your life, with your sin, with your humanness, with your eternity, with your future. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There's a lot to unpack there, and I don't have time to do it all today, but I just want to take you on a little journey. Okay, so bear with me. Some years ago, we learned by teaching, by the scriptures, and by the attention of the Holy Spirit, that God has placed the believer in the one place in all of the universe where the Father's judgment could never affect us. He's put us in Christ. So here's the deal, is if you think God loves his Son, and he does, and if you think about it, he loved the world so much that he gave his Son, who he loves so much, that those of us who put our faith and trust in him would not perish eternally but have everlasting life. When you start to unpack all of that, you start to realize that you know, the Father is really well pleased with, well, it's not the human race. He's really well pleased with his Son. Very well pleased with his Son. His Son meets all the criteria. Crosses all the T's, dots all the I's. Jesus, as a man, as the God-man, lived on this earth and walked in perfect communion with his Father. And he and his Father were one. So the Father's pretty happy with Jesus. It's humanity that has the question mark. We are the object of God's love and attention that needs the correction, that needs the forgiveness, that needs the healing power of God and the salvation plan that he has offered for us. So here's the thing, is that I believe that when I look at this verse here and I say, in Christ, you know, I think of that thought, the phrase, in Christ, makes me think of that thought that God had given us, given me, that given the world, really, is that God has put us in the one place where he could never judge us. He's put us in Christ. So this week, the Holy Spirit says, I just want to up the ante a little bit, and I want to help you to understand that not only are you put in the place where you could never be judged. I mean, you can be judged by people, but you can never be judged by God. Put us to one place. And he's, I'm going to up this ante a little bit. I'm going to just tell you that I've also put you in a place. Now, this is going to sound a little heretical at first, because I hear all the time, and we experience, and we know that there is an evil in this world that is more evil than human. It's demonic. It's the devil, the adversary. He's not God's equal. He's a fallen angel. But yet he's here to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus believed in devils, in the devil. And he believed in demons. Cast them out, whatever, you know. And we've got to the place where we're just too sophisticated to believe in demons. But I'm just going to tell you, if you've lived long enough, your eyes are opened up, you start to see that there's an evil in this world that is more evil than human. And sometimes, well, I had a phone call this week. We had a text message this week. Someone we know and love who feels that they're going through a spiritual attack right now. Now, I'm going to side with C.S. Lewis, who said there's two mistakes that we can make when it comes to the demonic. One is that we can be obsessed with it, or the other is we can write it completely off. So there's two extremes there. I think it's healthy for us to say, okay, there's an evil here. And so sometimes there's pushback that is not just the circumstances of the world that we live in, a fallen world, accidents and such, but there's actually demonic attack. And that being said, the Holy Spirit mentioned to me, and I'm going to tell you why this is so significant, is because I have felt at times spiritual attack. And let me tell you, it's not pretty. The most recent time it happened to me was in my sleep in the middle of the night. And it started with a cough. And then it went to another cough, and I couldn't stop coughing. And so I was, instead of waking Judy up, I got up and I went to another bed. I had taken some cough medicine. I had taken a drink of water and done everything I know how to do to suppress this cough and go back to sleep. And I knew my pillow no sooner, my head no sooner hit the pillow in this other room, when all of a sudden a weight came on me, a presence, and was strangling me. And I'm going to tell you something that is hard to believe, but I was suddenly fighting for my life. It wasn't coughing, it wasn't the inability to breathe, it was nothing physical. It was an attack. And I felt like this entity was standing on my chest and squeezing the life out of me. And I started to pray, and I started to intercede, and I am fighting for my life, and all of a sudden I felt my hand go up and grab this thing by the back of its neck. And I just, in Jesus' name, and I hurled this thing off of me and fell asleep. Woke up in the morning, and I was like, well, that was something, you know. Judy's like, you slept in the other bed last night. I said, yeah, I had a rough night, you know. That's the context. Now, I haven't thought about it. In this week, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit says to me, the scripture says that we see the Lord through glass, darkly, dimly. In other words, the mirrors that Paul, the apostle, would have been used to are mostly polished metal. So you could see your face, you could see your image, but not with great clarity. So whatever was available to Paul, he says in Colossians chapter 3, I think it is, that First Corinthians, through a glass darkly or dimly. We see God with the eyes of our spirit, but not as clearly as we see each other or we see in the mirror. So the point is that if I can't see God clearly with my eyes, there will be a day when I see him face to face. That's good news, by the way. But the Spirit said to me, this worked both ways. I could put you in Christ, and the devil will not be able to see you, but through a glass, darkly. And I'm like, give me that, Lord. give me some of that. And then I'm like, okay, so I need some scripture to kind of like follow this thing up, you know. And then he reminds me in Colossians chapter 3, we have died and our lives are hidden in Christ. Amen? Can I just tell you, it's not a terminology that we're used to, but this thing of being in Christ is a big deal. Okay, so let me just tell you how Paul says it. You know, like if you read these verses, well, let's just read them. In Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. By the way, we have little Bibles back in the back that you can just take in devotionals as well. Take them with you when you go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ. By the way, these guys, just a few years before, these guys were pagan worshiping, idol worshiping. They worshiped Diana, you know. And that's a whole other story. Verse 2, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. These are not former Jews. These are former pagans that the gospel had awakened their heart and they had now received Christ. Verse number 5, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved, that would be Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he foreordained in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, in Christ, things in heaven, things on earth. So God's goal is to filter everything through Jesus. So in Christ, I am chosen. Think mental health now, folks. Not rejected. Not abandoned. Not orphaned. Chosen. In Christ, I'm adopted. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. So this means that when my emotions go up and down and I look in the mirror and it reports back to me, today's not a great day. You should just go back to bed. You know, when I look in the mirror, I say, hello, mirror. I look in the mirror and it says, yeah, today's not a good day. You should just go back to bed. It doesn't change who I am in Christ. It never changes. My emotions will change. My perceptions will change. And with a liar, a deceiver, a devil interjecting thoughts in my mind, I will change what I think. It'll change what I believe sometimes. Like people who, I can't tell you how many times people says, Pastor, I do not believe in this, but I feel I need to follow through. You know, oh my gosh, what pressure, what kind of pressure is that, you know? So it's not what everybody else is feeling or thinking or saying about me. It's not what the devil is feeling or thinking or saying about me. It's not what the mirror is saying to me. It has nothing to do with any of these things. My lovely wife, she could have an off day too. You know, sometimes we're not always aligned when we have intense fellowship. And when we have intense fellowship, you know, she may not be supporting me. She may not be encouraging me. Usually it's the other way around. But anyways, the truth is that we can get inaccurate feedback about who we really are, unless we look into the truth or the mirror of God's word. And the mirror of God's word will say, you know, it just doesn't change. And God, because God doesn't change. Culture around me change. Everything changes all around us. In fact, isn't that like been what this country at least, and I'm sure it's around the world because the rest of the world looks to this country, it, like since 2020 or maybe even just a little bit before that, for in the very compressed 5 years or so, we feel like we've had whiplash, like so much has changed. I'm just going to, you know, maybe that's a product of getting older too, but it just seems like in 5 years, so much has changed. Some good, a lot bad. A lot bad for us in the long run as a people. But here's the thing is that the truth never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That cross was a dividing line in history. It's not going away because we've become too sophisticated for it. Heaven is not going away. Jesus is not running for election. I have to be honest and say hell is not, that issue is not going away. The judgment to come, that issue is not going away. And it should create a certain fear of God or reverence towards him enough to look into the truth. Because when everybody is saying the emperor has new clothes, the emperor might be just in his skivvies. So here's the thing, is I'm just trying to say that the feedback that we get from our senses is not always accurate. And it certainly cannot tell us who we are in Christ. I can look at my sister Cheryl, gifted musician. Have you ever heard this woman play violin? I mean, an amazing person. But I bet 50 people could walk past you, Cheryl, in the grocery store and never stop and not have a clue how wonderful you are, how beautiful you are. But in Christ, we know that what the rest of the world can't see, he sees. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been alone, but never alone. You've been loved, but never more than you're loved right now. In Christ, you're doing fine. It's going to take the rest of the world to catch up to what is really going on. But I'm just saying, I'm picking Cheryl out because she's a precious person and she won't hit me afterwards. But you know, the thing is that when you look at another person, you can never know who they are in Christ unless you know who you are in Christ. And if God is your father, then you are my brother or my sister. And this should begin to process or filter the way I look at life and the things around me. Okay. I think it's a foregone conclusion that no one gets out of here alive. You know, there's a dying process. We talked about pregnancy earlier, and I'm hoping that was not a prophetic word for my wife because, that would be a major change. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. Right. We got some lovely grandchildren. Let me introduce them. But, oh, God, I thank the Lord that they were given to my children and not to me. You know, I'm just thinking out loud here. Anyway. I think that everybody has cycles and seasons, and we're all going through it. We as a people group can go all through seasons. We as a church can go through cycles and seasons and stuff, you know. We could sit here and reminisce. We could talk, but let me just tell you, all of this is leading to a place and a time and a conclusion. And there will truly in that day be nothing else that matters but that Jesus Christ has become the center of it all. So here's the deal, is this is just what I'm just going to go for it. Someone might ask or think that what I'm about to say, it makes me a prosperity preacher, teacher, whatever, you know. I've been asked that. Pastor Rich, are you a prosperity teacher? So as soon as you get labeled something, then there's people who get upset, you know. And, you know, I never know how to answer that question because I know what they're thinking. The thinking is that if you are a prosperity preacher or teacher, that you have sort of an agenda, and that is like to get everybody else hyped up that they can think and grow rich, and by that, then you will be enriched. And that's just an ugly thought. It's just not true. So by the way, if that were the case, then, you know, why are there slums in the world? You know, whole nother topic. But I'm not a poverty preacher. Like, who would say that? If you trust in the Lord, you will become broke. Here's how I want to say it. It's the way that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says it. First of all, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. So we should bless our Father because he shared with us his Son. And through Jesus, or in Christ, now we have been adopted into his family. So now Jesus' Father is my Father. And again, if God is your Father, then you are my brother, my sister. Okay, no matter where you are in the world, okay? So Paul's just, he's going after something, and he's telling these former pagan worshipers, you belong with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. Just because you were outside of the first covenant doesn't mean that you're not included in this covenant. So, now, next thing is we bless the Father for Jesus Christ, then we need to let the Spirit open our eyes to understand that every spiritual blessing, or in the spirit realm, there are warehouses full of unfulfilled dreams. There's warehouses full of healings. There's warehouses full of potential ministries. There's warehouses full of products and things that could be used for the betterment of mankind. And they're all sitting in heavenly places. Or that it's all there in Christ or through Christ, and the Spirit of God is the one who, so it's in the spirit realm that these things exist. And the Spirit is trying to get us to the point where we stop believing the lies of the mirror. Stop believing the lies of the devil. Stop believing the lies of what everybody else is feeding back. And beginning to believe the truth found in the mirror of God's word. And when you begin to do that, then what God does is he opens up the treasury of heaven. So this is about more than money. It's about more than healing. It's about what do you need? What do we need to do what God has willed? What, and it's all there in Jesus. Included in that is my adoption. Included in that is my forgiveness. Included in that is my being chosen. In that is my being loved. In Christ, I am loved, accepted, and forgiven. That's the basic. I'm loved, accepted, and forgiven. That covers everything. So over the next couple of weeks, except for Father's Day, when Ryan Waldrop will be preaching. So over June, this month, we're going to talk about these different things. What it means to be loved and accepted and forgiven. What's it mean to be adopted? What does it mean to be chosen? But we've got to start thinking about what it means to be in Christ. So there are, again, warehouses in the spirit realm filled with the thing that you need, that I need, to do what God has called us to do. Just going to take 1 second and say, it was mentioned earlier, so I'm going to go for it. What unfulfilled dream is still kind of taking up real estate inside your head and your heart? And you have essentially looked in the mirror and said, it's never going to happen. Hello? You've looked at the conditions. You said, not under this presidency. Not at this age in my life. What unfulfilled dream or vision is still resident in your heart? It will cost you not money, something more precious than that. It will cost you faith. Faith is the money that accesses this. My faith is in Christ. So how lavish is he? I'm running out of words. How superlative, how lavish is the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Where sin abound, grace much more. How regal, how royal, how expensive, how rich, how vast, how wide, how deep is this love of God towards us? You don't even know. You're going to have to risk walking with him. You're going to have to risk it all. And let me tell you something. No one can hurt you like God. And I mean that in the kindest way. Because you can find yourself in a place where, like Job, you say, man, I don't understand him. Like, I love God. Why would he take my child? I love God. Why wouldn't he? And we have got to get past that into the place where Job says, though he slays me, yet will I serve him. Let me tell you something. There's no greater faith on the planet than when someone like Peter says, Jesus, where else would we go? You've ruined us. We're ruined. Like, this world has never been. Can I just tell you, I'm just for myself, this time of year, I get very nostalgic because it was around this time of the year. I just had graduated from high school. It's between May and August, something like that. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, my life came alive. I mean, I could laugh. I could rejoice. I could love God. I could cry. I could do all these things. And I know, I mean, at, you know, as a 18-year-old, as an 18-year-old, like the responsibilities and the pressures on me were minimal. I'm just going to pause for a second and say, so many parents have just waited for the school year to get out. It's like, whew, you know, the schedule, cost, expense, everything. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what it's going to cost this summer to keep these kids entertained, you know, for the whole summer, you know. I'm just telling you, the world seems to do better when we're in school. But anyway, everybody longs for the day that the school lets out and, like, life begins. Well, a few years past that, then you start dreaming about retirement, you know. It's like school being let out all the time, all year long, you know. But, you know, the crazy thing is, without God, none of it makes any difference. Without his presence, none of it matters. And let me just tell you, my life has been stretched and stressed and pressured in ways that you have no idea of. You cannot fathom. And many of you could just put yours right alongside of mine. But so I could look at that time in the summer and say, it was so carefree and so easy, and the Spirit was so good and so kind, and I didn't realize that's what it was going to take to last to hear. And over those years, everything was so simple, and there was nothing complicated. And now I've lived a very complicated life in a very complicated world, and let me tell you something. I've learned along the way that he is better than I thought he was when I was a kid. He is kinder than I gave him credit for. And he is literally the source of my life. You can take it all away. As long as I have Jesus, I still have life. And that more abundant. So I have a few unfulfilled dreams and visions, of course, like most of us. But most of us, at a certain point, we just give up on it. And I'm here to ask you to do something different. I'm asking you to, tonight, before you go to bed, or tomorrow morning, should you live, look at that mirror and say, hello, mirror. Did you know that in Christ I am loved, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven? There's warehouses full of unfulfilled promises, visions, and dreams that are still there for the asking, for the exchange of faith. But as Annie shared with us a while ago, yeah, Jesus is not coming back to see if they still love him. Coming back to see if we still believe him, if we still trust him, if we still hold the faith that he, the flag that he planted in the ground. Brothers and sisters, we cannot move from what Jesus planted in the ground. no matter how complicated life gets. Because we are loved, we're accepted, we're forgiven. And I'm telling you, it's the only way to do life. Would you please stand up with me? I'm going to pray for those here today and those watching online. And I'm going to ask you to consider a very bold choice. And that choice, see, this is the thing. I'm guessing, this is unscientifically, you know, it's not tested, it's just my observation. About 20% of what stands in our way is something that we can't control. About 20%. We feel like it's about 95%, but really it's only about 20% that is happening in your life that you cannot change. You can't make a difference in it. It was something dealt to you and you can't get rid of. It's just there, you know. And I'm going to say that about 80% is how we choose to respond to that. About 80% of how your life goes is based on how we respond to that. So there's a journey in front of you that is yet to be walked. There is a pathway that is yet to be tried. But Jesus has gone there before you. Follow him. He'll lead you home. And who knows when and how and where the doors of those warehouses will open up to you. I'm going to tell you, I've read the Bible through and through and studied it, taught it, preached it. I'm just going to tell you, I really feel that the problem isn't what we think it is. It isn't the obstacle. That's not the problem. The problem is we believe the lies, we believe the mirror, we believe what other people say and think. We believe social media, we believe all that. We believe it's all true. When in fact, let me just say it this way. I want you to picture yourself to be flying trapeze artist. You know, you don't see it much anymore, but people used to, like, before there was GoPros and people jumping off of cliffs and things, you know. Parachuting without parachutes, you know. Trapeze artist. Guy on one side, swinging his swing. Usually a girl, because they're lighter, on this side, swinging her swing. And the guy is supposed to catch the girl. She, you know, they practice with nets before they do this in real, you know. And the guy will look at the girl and he says, listen, I'm telling you something. As I did when I looked at my bride. If you let go, I'll catch you. But if you don't let go, I can't catch you. I've learned in my humanity, I've not always been able to catch Judy. But see, you're not, this is not about swinging or dancing or relationship with me. This is about with Jesus. He's the man on the other swing. If you let go, he'll catch you. I promise you. He'll never let you fall. No one slips out of his hands. No one accidentally falls to their death. But you gotta. You have to let go. This is where faith is born. And so you're feeling yourself swinging through the air, back and forth, and he's saying, let go, let go, let go. And you're like saying, but I don't want to, I don't want to. And but you know that if you do, one of two things are going to happen. He's either going to catch you or he's not. But let me tell you something. For those of us who've gone before you, he'll catch you. He always does. He's always been there catching me. And as soon as you let go of the swing, you're flying through the air, and it's like nothing is holding you. Hello. Who created gravity? Who created the laws of physics? Who created the earth? Who created planets that don't have gravity? Who created all of this? He can catch you. Trust me. Let it go. And when you do, you'll be just sailing through blue skies. And out of nowhere, he'll catch you. And he'll hold on to you. Because you are loved, you are accepted, and you are forgiven. How many of you know that there is a mental health message in there? How many of you know that there is a salvation message in there? How many of you know that there's also a dreaming with God message in there? So, Father, here we are today, and I'm asking that whether we need to dream with you or we need to accept you, or someone just needs you to touch their mind and their heart and bring healing. You are here to catch us. So if you need caught, tell the Lord. Like, Lord, I really want to trust you, but I have trust issues. I really want to believe you, but I have trust issues. You're in good company. We all have trust issues because we were raised by human beings. Sometimes they kept the word, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they kept their promise, sometimes they didn't. That's not the question. The question is, will you risk it? Will you risk it? The most amazing life you've ever dreamed of is available to you right now if you accept it. If you accept it right now, the most amazing life is available to you. So, Father, I'm asking right now that even as, you know, it's not what I've taught today, it's what we've heard. And I just ask, Lord Jesus, that we hear you calling, drawing, committing, catching, encouraging, speaking, loving, accepting, forgiving. In Jesus' name I pray.